Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Leaving a legacy, baby. Leaving a legacy. That's what it's all about. I'm gonna just share something here real selfishly with you. I was scrolling through the internet yesterday trying to find, I was looking for a specific video that I, you know, I've produced so many videos. they're not really cataloged. Like, you know, they're not cataloged according to subject or anything like that. They're just there. And so I was scrolling down through it and saw today. Today is like the 688 huddle. I think is what it is, 688. And they're all archived there on YouTube. 688, amazing. And I said to my wife, love of my life, I said, you know what, sweetheart? What a legacy I'm leaving to my grandchildren. And by that I mean this. How many of you guys right now really ever knew your grandpa? Ever really knew him? I mean, you sat on his lap and, you know, you knew him, but you never really knew him. Did he think about anything? Did he have any thoughts? Did he? I have no memories at all of either one of my grandfathers. Very little, actually, into the depth of my own father or really what my dad really believed. He liked the Yankees. I mean, he worked a lot, liked the Yankees. Took us to Mass and taught us to behave and be good boys, but I don't really know the depth of what was going on in his heart. And I go on the internet. My goodness, my grandchildren, my great grandchildren are going to be able to point at that thing and say, "That was my grandpa." Are you kidding me? That's my grandpa. And so it just kind of hit me last night as I was scrolling down through them. 688. Think of that. And that doesn't even count all the news with views, videos, and all that stuff. That's up there. So I was scrolling down there last night. I understood the magnitude of what it is that we do here. Just the magnitude. The George Washington was a real person. No video of him that I know of. Well, why wouldn't there be any of him? Because he wasn't around. Wasn't any video. Abe Lincoln, same thing. Might get a black and white picture of him every once in a while, but no recordings of Abraham Lincoln's voice. To think of where we are today in the society in which we live and the ability that we have, all of us have, to impact those around us is absolutely incredible. I'd encourage some of you to start making videos. You know, Chad makes them regularly. Larry makes videos. Of course, David Arthur is doing what he's doing. Dale Soshi needs to start making some videos. So those of you out there, it's so easy to do it on a phone, man. Just do it on a phone. And it'll be ever forever out there. As long as they let us continue to, you know, get on Facebook, whatever the next thing's going to be. Voices matter, man. Voices matter. And, you know, I get discouraged sometimes because I watch some people who, you know, you look on some of their YouTube views, they got 50,000, 400,000. And I think, golly, how do you have that kind of impact? But you know what? Somebody's got 400,000 views. That doesn't mean to have impact. It doesn't mean it has impact. And, We're making a lasting impact. We are. So I'm trying to encourage some of you, jump in, man, get involved. Do it. Begin. Do it. Do it. Do it. Get your thoughts on tape, on film. Your children, your grandchildren are going to appreciate it someday. So I don't know, you know, not pat myself on the back. I want you to know that. I think that kind of stuff is really, really important. Hey, Jared, pull up something for me. I didn't send it to you. I forgot all about it. Type in Last Days Warrior, Last Days Warrior Con, Last Days Warrior Con.com. There it is. This is something that my friend, get my brain working here, Ray Gano put together. And some of you may want to be part of it. Last Day Warrior, Patriots of Prophecy Online Summit, worldwide on-demand access. Ray started this thing where he's, you know, having all these prophecy conferences and going to all these places. Ray has started this thing. It's a prophecy conference online. You know, there's a group of speakers, and I happen to be one of them. That's why I'm promoting it here. But click on the speakers, Jared. You can become part of this Last Day Warrior online. And, well, there's some of the speakers down there. And so it's not really up and ready to go now. But let's say you clicked on, just click on one of them. Don't click on me because I don't really have anything up there yet. There's about me, but there's going to be videos. There's going to be writings. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. I just sent them an hour long video yesterday. And so, if you're out there and you're looking for specific things that, topics, whatever, boom, this is a place that you're going to be able to find it. So I just want to make you aware of that. It's going to go online. I think tonight's when it's going to really kick off. And the title of it again is Last Day Warrior Con, Con being conference, lastdaywarriorcon.com. And it popped up on my screen today. I thought, doggone, I haven't even said anything about it. So check that thing out. And just again, another vehicle, another way to be able to try to make a difference. Well, God, as always, come in, feel like a broken record. Got a lot of stuff to talk about today. And we're really gearing up, man. God bless Jim Craft. We're really gearing up down in, I'm trying to see what I'm looking for over here, guys. I'm sorry. We're really gearing up down in Florida. And if you want to go to Florida, just contact me at coach@coachdavelive.com and we'll plug in with Jim. Jim's really, really, really stepped up big. And we got a crew going down there this weekend. They're going to be down there. And then Jim's going to be down there going to be down there a while. He's going through the 15th of November. Crew's going in and out, trying to do whatever they do. Jim said he's never seen such devastation. It's worst he's ever seen. And I, don't know what difference we can make, but we can make some difference. And so if anybody's interested in going down there, we'd love to be able to plug in. Don't know what to say. What, Coach, I don't have any skills. Well, can you pick up a board? Can you pick up a log? Can you sweep? All kinds of things for people to be able to do down there. So just want to get that out there again, continue to remind you. Brush. Yeah, Mark Trump said, can you drag brush? Yeah. Can you share the gospel? Now, that may be a different story. We may not be real solid on that one. We're going to try to teach you to. Hey, I spoke to Sheila Zielinski yesterday, and Sheila's going to join us next week. Her dad's not doing well. 70 years old, not doing well. And so she's just spending a lot of time in and out of the hospital with him. And so she can't come on this week, but she's going to join us next week. Teach us how to pray and what that whole thing's about. So I'll get you more word about that as we move forward here. And let's see. What else about? See, I put all the stuff up here for me to be reminded of. Got that done. Let me ask you something. You know, the Gosnell movie is kind of come and gone already. It's hard to believe. It's still out there. I haven't gotten the chance to see it yet, but I want to go see it. We need to support that movie. And I got thinking about the Gosnell movie, and it's like so many other things. What do we think abortion is? I'm not going to get bogged down on this. Stay with me a second. What do we really think abortion is? The average person sitting in the church, when you say to them an abortion, what do you think they think of?
Medical procedure.
Medical procedure, blob of tissue. Well, what else would they think of? Girls in trouble, can't afford it. And so I got logically thinking, can somebody help me here? What is the abortion argument when it gets right down to it? When you're standing out there and you talk to somebody, are you pro-life? Are you pro-choice? Blah, blah, blah. What is the pro-abortion argument? And somebody, it can be whittled down to almost nothing. What's the pro-abortion argument?
Woman's control of her own body.
Somebody give me another one. When it gets down to it, why is abortion illegal?
I think it goes down to how we treat life in general. What I think a lot of these women, some of them have never had abortions, but they want to be able to have the right to have one in case they make quote unquote a mistake. With their, and I don't know. I just the way I feel a lot of it is.
Okay. So I'm sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's where I think some of it is.
So stay with me here a second, because you know, we're talking about objective truth and subjective truth. And objective truth is stuff that can be proven. Science is objective.
Right.
A woman's right to choose is subjective. In other words, based on emotion rather than based on facts. Is that Karen? Come on in, Karen.
I think the ultimate lowdown is, are you willing to accept murder or are you not?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Really, what it comes down to, Coach, is that it's been classified as a medical procedure, as health care. That's why it's legal, because they've made it health care.
Okay, so let's think about this a minute. If we were to create an argument, if we were to get a panel of experts, what would be the panel of experts? What? Come on now, let's do this. This is important real quickly here. What would be the panel of experts' arguments for abortion? For abortion. Come on, somebody give them to me. If I had a pencil, I'd write them down. What are the panel? What would be the panel? The attorney who's presenting the evidence for abortion, what would be his evidence? Go ahead, Chad.
It's always the same two, incest and rape.
Okay, incest and rape. Let's move on.
Well, it goes back to Roe versus Wade. They say it's legal. They have a right to do this. That's the legal standpoint from the attorney.
A woman's right to do it. Okay.
Woman's health in jeopardy.
Women's health is in jeopardy. By the way, all these emotional so far as I can tell. Can you give me another one?
Okay, Coach. How about when they have a miscarriage, they that was a baby and it got miscarriage and down the toilet it went. So if they get that in their mind that a miscarriage is getting rid of a baby, why not do it through abortion? It's the same thing, isn't it?
Well, it is, Ray, except I don't think a lawyer would make that argument. I agree with you, but I don't think a lawyer would make that argument. Woman's right to choose. It's health care.
The
argument is always the same. The first thing they say is that it's not a baby. It's a blob of tissue. It's a fetus.
They
make it something that it's, less personal.
They dehumanize it. They dehumanize it. The exact same thing they did to blacks.
When the baby has a medical issue.
The baby has a medical issue. They cloud it. I'm trying to. Okay, so let's jump on the other side here. What could somebody produce some evidence for? Now, not opinion, not emotion, evidence for why abortion should be illegal. Evidence, not emotion. Give me some evidence.
Baby is alive and all.
Baby's alive. Baby's alive.
At the point of conception, that baby has its own X and Y chromosomal DNA factors, which makes him a separate human being.
Okay. Come on, another one. What else?
Well, if you want to look at it from a sense of how about public health issue?
In what way?
Well, what do they do with the waste? What do they do with the blood? What do they do with all that? It goes down the drain into the city sewers.
Okay.
Thereby polluting the water.
is the baby its own human being? Is the baby its own person?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Can that be proven scientifically?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it can be. It can be.
Right? Not to mention, let's go back and defunct Roe versus Wade. It's not law. Therefore, it's fictitious law.
Right. Okay. So here's the question, guys. When this thing comes into a court of law, how are we losing this argument? If everybody's
Coach, I think what we do is, like you talk about, we don't try to win the secular argument.
We don't try to win it, do we? We don't.
Like you talk about. I think that's where it starts.
Is there a doctor in America that could prove that life doesn't begin at conception? Does not begin at conception. Is there a doctor in America that could prove that?
I don't believe so.
Most doctors are honest, they'll know that life does begin at conception. They know that's
right. So scientifically, bang. So then the question becomes, if that thing is alive, does it have a right to live?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Well, how are we losing this argument? And if a mother has a right to kill the baby, then why don't I have the right to kill the baby? Is the baby property? Are we calling children property? Is that what's going on?
And then we have a Congress that's going to continue to fund places like Planned Parenthood, even though I see Donald Trump totally opposes it. And we keep electing these morons into office.
How about a baby having a heartbeat? Is there a heartbeat? The universal sign? Universal sign? See, folks.
18 days.
They are winning the argument without any science or any logic. They have no logic. Their argument is, it's not a baby, and I have the right to kill it. They don't even say that. It's not a baby, and I have a right to end it. It's my body.
They're not winning the argument. They're not allowing the argument.
Going back to the court precedent that this is precedence of case, that this is precedence. There is no law. There's no Congress that has signed a law and president that has signed in a bill to make it law. It's absolutely ridiculous when they keep calling this precedence of case.
Yeah, but they all that's the way the system works. That's what, why can't we win this? Why are we losing this very obvious? We win scientifically, we win everywhere.
Because everywhere. By our own The same reason Dredge and Scott, brother, was the fact that the church rose up and they didn't care. They began to stand in the gap. They interposed themselves on behalf of the black people. And we got people right now in the church that refuse to take that position. Therefore, it continues going on.
I think, too, it's emotionalism that all this is about. That's what they do. They pull at the heartstrings. You pull it. Of people that are being pulled by emotion, not to think, and in school we don't teach logic anymore.
That's not supposed to happen in a courtroom. That is not supposed to happen in a courtroom.
But it has because that's the way the education system has been run in this country. It's based on emotion. It's not based on logic. They don't teach logic anymore in school. They don't.
Let me connect another dot for you as well. Do you know that basically, all the judges in America, there's going to be some exceptions. But if we were to do some research, how many of the judges in America and high-powered attorneys in America come from maybe the same 10 law schools? Would we think that that's probably true? What, Harvard, Yale, Columbia, Cornell, right? Same top law firm. So that's the same, that's what I'm looking for, same doctrine, same thing is out there. They have their own set of beliefs that's high above. It's godless and it's high above it. And the list here, the list of law schools attended by the U.S. Supreme Court. Put that up there real quick, Jared. See what that's.
Harvard, Yale, Columbia.
Right? There they are.
Georgetown. Harvard.
Look at that. Harvard Law School, 20 of them.
Georgetown,
Yale, 11 of them. Columbia, 7 of them.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You remember when Bush, the son, was president and he nominated a lady by the name of Myers who had gone to SMU Law School?
Right.
And how the vitriol, even on our side.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's unqualified. She didn't go to this. Because she didn't go to some Ivy League school.
That's right.
They ridiculed her. She got pulled out of the process. But that's an example right there.
Yeah, because see, they want to control it, right? If like-minded, where somebody help me out here? Where'd Kavanaugh go? Anybody know where Kavanaugh went?
Probably Georgetown.
Not law school. No. Yale. Are you kidding me? Huh? Wow. Huh. What about Kagan? What about Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Well, she went to Columbia and Harvard. Look at that. Wow. Sotomayor, where'd she go? Why, she went to Yale. Clarence Thomas, Yale. Wow, really? Alito, Yale. Wow. Suter. Where'd he go? Harvard? Scroll up here, Jared. Isn't this fascinating, folks? See what's going on to us? See what they're doing to us? You can't have any common sense. Harvard. Let's see. Gorsuch. Oh, I'll be darned. O'Neill made it. Kagan. I'll be darned. Kennedy, who just came off. Well, I'll be darned. John Roberts. No kidding. Scalia. So, are you kidding me? Well, hell, they're treating their own. Do you see what's going on, folks? See? Understand what's going on? And so when they talk about stare decisis and previously decided cases, what's all they've all been taught the same thing in law school. And so those guys in law school make a whole set of rules and regulations that are not best based on any truth at all. There's no truth at all. See, there can't be any truth at all, or abortion would no way ever be legal, because a woman's right to choose does not supersede another human being's right to life. We know that. We know that, right? Huh? We know that. Okay, I'll get off of this.
Hey, Coach, did you hear a judge or a body of legislator just ruled recently that an unborn child is a person?
Trump administration. That's the position the Trump administration's taken.
Oh, okay. So that might be where we're going to go with this next.
Well, that's where we're going to go with it. Because to say that it's not a human being is the ultimate denial of science, right? It's the ultimate denial. It's crazy that we would say that's not a human being.
So I have a question. Who decides when it's a human being?
Well, let's stay on their side. Let's say science does. Right? Science determines its life at the moment of conception. So then we go from objective truth, science, it's alive, to subjective truth. Yes, it's alive, but it's part of the woman's body. See, they lied to us even on that. Everyone watching right here knows that that is not a part of a woman's body. Not. I'm not part of my mom's body. My mom's dead. Her body is dead, and yet I live. So I'm not a part of her body. Do you see the lies? You see the semantics and the lies and the penumbras of the Constitution, what they've done to us, and we won't come back to this true standard of truth. When we remove the Bible, we remove the standard of truth. And so our judges say, listen, I'm a Christian, Kavanaugh. I'm a Christian, Gorsuch. I'm a Christian, Thomas. I'm a Christian. However, there's a separation between the church and state. So therefore, my Christian beliefs no longer apply. I have to go to the beliefs I've been taught at Harvard, Yale, and Columbia. I got to go according to those. And those are godless. The law by itself stands alone. Doesn't matter about my own personal morality. It's absolutely freaking foolish.
You know, didn't Roosevelt or Teddy Roosevelt say to educate a man in mind and not in morality is to create a menace to society?
That's what he said. That's what he said. And that's where we are.
In the past, Coach, you look at their hypocrisy. Look at, like, for example, if you were to go out and, I don't know, you're caught drunk driving and you had a wreck. And you got into an accident with a pregnant woman, and that baby, and she died, plus the baby died. They charge you with murder, or if you go out and commit a murder and kill a pregnant, they charge you with murder on two counts, her and unborn child.
So how do they get away with that, Paul? How do they get away
with that? Huh?
How do they get away with that?
Yeah.
Well they file that, Paul, they file that as a wanted pregnancy. That's okay. That's not okay to do that. If it's unwanted pregnancy, it's okay to get rid of it. That's how they do it.
So, it's moral relativism at the highest level of our courts. That's what it is.
It's emotionalism.
Hang on. I feel like we're stepping on each other, and I'm the worst. Go ahead and finish your thought, Paul.
No, I'm just saying basically that's just hypocrisy, but again, it's emotionalism.
Right. We let them get away with it. See?
And the thing is, we let them get away with it, and then, that's why, like, when you talk to that lady that was a zombie, that's what you get.
That's right.
You know,
I saw yesterday if I won the lottery, which I didn't play. I didn't get out and get a ticket. I would have played it. But if I got one, 36% of the winnings would go to the government. 36%. And I just asked myself a simple question. Why the hell do they get any of it?
Hey, Coach, I got a question about that.
Yeah.
Where does all the money come from? The billions of dollars. Where does that come from? Does it come from people donating or buying the ticket?
Buying tickets and then that tells you something, doesn't it?
Isn't that double dipping?
Well, voluntary taxation is what it is.
Yeah, it is. It's voluntary taxation.
In the past, when you use the life at conception, they've been able to get by with, yeah, but it's not human life. It, because a pig fetus and a human fetus look exactly the same in the first 13 days or something.
Yeah, just lies.
Now you can tell them, well, they have a brand new DNA. Is that a pig DNA or a human DNA? Tell me what science says about that.
Yes, guys, on the science argument, this thing is, this is, see, we argue the moral. We've been arguing the moral argument, not the scientific. It comes back to what I said. We have got to use the, we got to win the secular debate first. I got in trouble, by the way. I think I shared that with you. Not in trouble, but some people questioned me when I was in Marshfield because I said that the Bible's not enough. I said, it's not enough. Jared, go to 1 Corinthians 2. We talked about the natural man. This is what we're dealing with. See. The natural man, keep on going. But it's the wisdom of God. But as written, verse 9, but as it is written, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, or if they'd known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor have you heard, neither enter into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love them. By the way, that was the first scripture I ever memorized. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world. See, there is a spirit of the world, and we've not received that spirit, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us, God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the unborn again man, does not receive the things of the Spirit. Do you see that? Neither can he, it says, right? Read that. We're talking about unregenerated Harvard lawyers. Those natural men cannot understand the things of the Spirit. In fact, it's foolishness unto them. Neither can he know them. Not, neither will he ignore them, or neither will he not read them. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so they don't have the Spirit of God. Like I said, the computer app, the download, they don't have it. And so logic isn't even logic anymore. The thoughts and the ideas of men rule the day. That's why you can have a baby killed in a car accident, an unborn child killed in a car accident, be called murder. Scott and Lacey Peterson, by the way, Scott Peterson killed Lacey and her unborn baby is double murder. And then a woman can walk into an abortion clinic and kill her own baby, and it's nothing. See, because it's foolishness. It's foolishness, see. And people don't understand it. We're dealing with people. We're expecting spiritual behavior out of non-spiritual people. Well, they're spiritual. We're expecting Christian behavior out of people who aren't Christian. Not going to happen. Is not going to happen. The natural man cannot. Paul said, Jared, go to John 3. John 3. I know David Arthur was kind of preaching on this last couple of days as well, but I just can't hammer it enough. There was a man of the Pharisees. Hey, let's say this. There was a man of the Supreme Court named Gorsuch, a ruler of the Americans. And he came to Jesus by night and said unto him, hey, Jesus, we know that you are the teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus said unto him, hey, Neil Gorsuch, and hey, Kavanaugh, I say unto you, unless you're born again, dude, you ain't going to get this. You ain't going to understand it. And Gorsuch said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? And he enters the second time in his mother's womb be born? Jesus said, come on, Neil. I say unto you, except man be born of water and of spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom, because that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So don't be surprised I say to you, you got to be born again. So we're expecting born-again men to make, non-born-again men to make great spiritual decisions, and they can't do it. They can't do it. We hear people gripe and moan and complain about Donald Trump being president of the United States. He's not a Christian, and he grabs pussies and did all. We hear all that stuff. We don't hear anybody complain about these non-born-again people who are on the Supreme Court. making laws for the rest of us supposed to follow. Anybody picking up what I'm laying down? Is anybody with me today? Do you see where we are? And how we turn to the courts for justice? We're not going to get any courts justice from the courts. How can we possibly get justice from the courts? They have not received the things of the Spirit. It's foolishness to them.
I agree.
So the
amen. Amen.
People said to me when I and David.
Amen, Coach.
Rob and some of those other guys who were there, they can attest to the fact that I said, "Listen, we got to win the secular argument first. The Bible's not enough. The Bible just isn't enough." And they thought I'd pooped in the punch bowl. So what? The Bible's not enough? What are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about the fact the Bible's not enough. That it says, the word says that they, can somebody help me out here? They make, I'm going to get it here. Pull this up. Hey, Jared. Now that's a different one. You make the word of God of none effect through your traditions. Having ears, you hear not. Eyes, you see not. There's certain things the word of God cannot do. Make the word of God of none effect. You guys know that says that, doesn't, don't you? Makes the word of God of none effect. Jared, this is something else. Because let me roll this one right in there too. Because they said that God's word will not return unto him void, but it will perform that which he sent it to do. Well, I just can't even get into depth the understanding of that. There's a difference between God speaking a word and me speaking a word, and I understand his written word is his written word. I understand that, but I'm going to tell you this: you can. I've lived it. Okay, I can go out and I can stand on the street corner and I can preach the gospel of Jesus. I can pierce some hearts right. Just by reading from the Bible. I can. But the majority of time, that's not how you can't.
Isn't that like casting pearls before swine?
That's what he said.
Exactly.
And also, too, the parable.
Parable of the sower, right?
Right.
You know, the written word without the Holy Spirit is just a bunch of black marks on a piece of white paper.
Brother, that is it. Jared has it underlined. Now, somebody said, God's word will not return void, but it will perform that which he sent it to do. Really? And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. This is Matthew 15, verse 5. And let's see, where was it? Jared, I lost it. And honor not, verse 6. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Does it say that, David, does it say that the commandment of God, the word of God, the word of God had no effect? I thought his word wouldn't return to me void. But it would.
If they would just understand what they're reading, instead of just picking and pulling out different things that proves what they want it to say. Because Isaiah 55:11, when it says that the word of God will not return void, but it will complete what is set for what God sets it forth to do, is talking about, and if we go up to, like, I think verse 4 or 5, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One. Oh, go back up. Sorry, Jared. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. That is a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, the word, Jesus Christ. John 1:1 says the word was God, was with God. And then verse 14 says that the word came down and became flesh and dwelt among us, became the man Jesus Christ. So the word that's being spoken of here is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ did not return void. He set forth, he accomplished what God set him forth to do. And the word is not words in the book. So standing there reading words from a book to people who don't even know the God that inspired the book is a waste of time.
Amen. Jared, go to Titus. We were in Titus yesterday. I read a little bit more in Titus yesterday after we got off, because it just golly, just blew me away. So yesterday we read Titus 1, remember? And remember that when you read the scriptures, there aren't any chapters. They just put them in there that way. This is a letter Paul's written to Titus. Now follow this here, next chapter. And folks, this is telling Christians how to raise Christians. This is telling Christians how to operate as Christians. This is very, very simple. And ask yourself if this is what you see in American churches today. But speak thou the things which become, hey, Jared, or David, look at this. I hate it when this happens. But speak you the things which become sound doctrine. Hmm. See, they didn't have any doctrine. Hmm. They didn't have any doctrine. The New Testament's being written. So here's some things that would become sound doctrine. In other words, you're not going to find this anywhere, but this is Christian doctrine. This is how Christians are supposed to behave. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Time out. What if we just fulfilled that? What if the church just fulfilled that?
Well, Coach, the reason why they weren't writing it or were just writing it is because they were too busy living it. There we have a problem. We're too busy writing our little books and selling our books than living the gospel.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Jared's pulled up grave up there, and it's not, I don't think it means ditch. I don't think that's what it means, Jared. Go to the beginning of it. Right there. Grave. Carve or cut letters or figures on stone. No, to carve, no. To clean the ship's bottom by burning. Clean the ship's bottom by burning off filth. To carve, to write, or delineate on hard substances. Okay? So let's go back to that. Let's go back to that scripture, Jared. Men should be tempered, sound in faith, grave, carving it into the hearts of their kids. And then how about we try this one? And then the older women, like my wife, Michelle, that they be in behavior has become holiness. Not false accusers, not giving much to wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. What if we just did that? What if we just did those three verses right there? Mm-hmm. Huh? Verse 6. And young men, what if we did this? Hey, young men, likewise, act like your daddies. Well, that's a scary thought, isn't it? Exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, young men, showing yourself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Are we teaching this in those jellyfish churches you're going to? Is this what the kids are learning in Bible in youth group?
Thank God, brother.
Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. Do you see this? We should be so sound in what we say that those who don't agree with us are ashamed when they come around. We don't have any evil thing to say. Exhort your servants to be obedient unto their own masters, to please them well in all things. Not answering again. You do it once, I don't say it again. Just do it. Not stealing, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, it's appeared to all men. Appeared to all men. Not all of them get it, though, do they? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hang on. I'm sorry. That ain't the rapture. Now, you can call that the rapture if you want to. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all sin and purify unto himself a peculiar people. I'm glad I'm freaking peculiar. Zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. That no man despise you. That's it, boys. Right there it is. There it is. We don't do any of that. Somebody say amen. Our churches don't do any of this.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
They don't do any of it. Say, Coach, you shouldn't be criticizing the pastor. Shouldn't be. I'm not. Yes, I am. And none of you teaching this. None of them.
Well, if you don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to criticize them?
I'm not criticizing them. I'm just criticizing what they do. Oh, boy.
Right, right. That's correction. Exactly. Lord, do
I want to go there, Lord? Is this where I want to go? I think it is. Let me look down here real quick. Okay. I got to show you this. So I spoke on this. What night would it have been, David? Saturday night when we were in Marshfield. That was Friday night. Mark Trump. I love Mark Trump. You in here, Mark? I think you are. Mark, whether you know it or not, you've taught me so much. I appreciate it. A lot of you do. This ain't a one-man band. I learn from all of you. Every day that I'm in here, I learn. And Mark Trump taught me one thing. This is the point that I made. That the Bible can be read flat or the Bible can be read deep. You can read the words on the pages or you can go deeper in the words on the pages. And one of the things I've learned over the last few years is in my reading of the Bible, I stop and go deep. That's why I'm always taking you to Webster's 1828 dictionary. Because you could read the word zealous and just read over, be zealous. And then you look it up, see what zealous means. Oh, my goodness. Then you go really, really deep. Wow, are you kidding me? That's what that means? Oh, my. And so most of us are flatliners. We read flat. The Lord's been working on my heart. I'm reading deep. People say, I've read through the Bible 17 times. I read my Bible every morning. I get up and I got a schedule and I read through it every year. And I've been doing that for 17 years. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I couldn't get through it in a year. I couldn't get through it. It's too deep.
Dave.
Yeah.
I think the word is we need to study the Bible, not
meditate on it. Meditate on it day and night, night and day. Study it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, you know, it goes back to our education. How are we taught in school? We're taught to memorize, memorize, memorize.
Take a test.
We're not taught why is 2 + 2 = 4.
Mm-hmm. And the importance of it.
So when we get the Bible, we just read the word. Mm-hmm. And we just read it, but we don't think about, well, what does that word mean? What does this mean? What was Jesus meaning by that? You know? And that's where we are, and that's how we're treating the word. So,
Paul, that's why we are so confused here, that we see Christians in America believing there's nothing wrong with those migrants coming over the border. We have Christians who believe there's nothing wrong. And the reason that they don't see anything wrong with it is because they read the Bible flat. They don't read it deep. And you know, this Mike, I think I said it yesterday. Thou shalt not covet. A Christian ought to stop right there. Just ought to stop right there before love your brothers and sisters and all that other stuff. Thou shalt not covet. Every one of those people coming across the border are coveting. Every one of them are coveting. You're not supposed to do that. It's sin to do that. Church doesn't teach that. Thou shalt not steal. They want to come across the border and they want to steal from you. They want to steal from you. They want to steal from innocent Americans. That's a violation, huh? That's a violation of the law. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to covet. You're not supposed to steal. You're not supposed to lie. People are embedded. Is anybody with me here? Anybody? You get what I'm saying? Go ahead, Jared.
Well, doesn't it sound kind of like something else? You know, when does it stop being stealing? Well, when you become an American in the appropriate way. When you forsake the old man and become the new man is when it's now no longer stealing. You're part of that society.
Amen. So, Jared, what welfare is nothing more than coveting. That's all it is. The government has no right to take what's mine and give it to somebody else. If we lived in a truly Christian society, I would have my own free will give out of my own pocket to help the needy. But see, We've bought into the lie, welfare. We need to take care of the needy. And so now the government takes care of the needy and the church buys big screen TVs and padded pews. And then they say, well, yeah, we got to bring all these people in. We're supposed to love everybody. Well, yeah, well, if they stop coveting and stop stealing and stop bearing false witness against their neighbor, then I'll consider it. But I'm just going to let those I'm not going to let those people come in here. Why? Well, because I honor my father and my mother and the sacrifices that they made before they got here, before all these other people got here. My dad and his generation, they laid down his life, their life, so this nation might be free. And I'm going to honor them by saying, you guys just can't come walking in here. Do you understand how confused we are with our own Christianity? We don't even understand the very basic premises of it. We don't get it. And because we don't get it, they're able to get away with all this stuff. Chad texted me this morning. I was just getting up, Chad. It's 5 o'clock, I think it was. And ding, my phone goes off and some Chad. And what's Chad tell me? Let me get it up here. Chad says, hey, coach, probably saw it, but there's a second wave of migrants 200 miles behind. Another wave coming. Where did you hear that? I think maybe we talked about that yesterday, right? There's another group coming behind it. And what are we seeing? We're seeing it's Christians' job to let these people come in and steal from it.
Well, Dave.
Yes.
The American Christian, I don't think, understands our Constitution in that the job of our government is to protect its people. It's to protect those citizens. Now, you and I would like to have more Christian influence in our government. I agree with that. Our founding fathers, all that. But one of the key components of our Constitution is to protect the people, to protect the pagans, to protect the Christians, to protect the people.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that we have a nation as a Christian responsibility to let them in, to me, is not even articulated properly.
Amen. Amen. So, Roger, we hear people complain, we can't put the military on the border. Hey, Jared, what's the purpose of the military?
It's not to invade. It's to protect.
Defend. To defend, right? Defend.
To defend our borders. What do you mean we can't put the military down there? What do you mean we can't do that?
That's their entire purpose. Right.
It is their entire purpose. Hey, listen, folks. What if we knew right now that walking up through Mexico, coming up, what if we saw 10,000 armed terrorists? Would we put our military on the border?
I say we don't wait.
Well, see, why it's called the Department of Defense, not Department of Offense.
That's right. Thanks, Chad. So what we don't understand, see, is these hordes that are coming are just as destructive as if they had guns. It's just as destructive. Because why? It's going to overrun everything this nation is about.
Well, it's reminiscent of what happened in Europe, what we saw, that a lot of the Muslims coming in from the Middle East coming into Europe. So it's a similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard Rick Wiles say that this happened back in 1917. I guess the Mexicans came across the border. We sent our army down there, and there was actually shooting. So there's historical precedent. This has happened before.
Hey, fellas,
well,
what happened?
We don't remember history. We don't remember history.
What about the boat lift? Do you remember the Cuban boat lift they had? What was it, 20 years ago and all that? And Alien Gonzalez and all that? What did Cuba do? Does anybody remember what Cuba did?
Emptied their prison.
Huh. I wonder if this is empty their prisons scene two.
Right. This is exactly what it is.
And so when we say, listen, we have to go down there, we have got to close our borders. Christians are standing up saying, oh, no, we can't treat people like that. Hey, folks, are you sitting down? Borders were God's idea.
Yeah.
Go, borders were God's idea.
Of course they are, brothers. Doesn't heaven have a gate?
Right? Borders. Yeah. Our God's idea.
Doesn't it say that the New Jerusalem will have a wall?
Yeah, but talk about this. When he said to go to all the nations of the world, well, what determines a nation? What determines a nation? That's God's idea. And see, God said, go into all the world and make all those nations Christian. That's what he told us to do. He didn't say invite all of these non-Christians in. Go into all the world. Go to all nations, all ethnicities, You go to them. See, we've turned America into the church. Come, everybody come. All who will come, 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 come. No, 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 no. That's why I go back to where I was. The church isn't for non-believers. The church is for believers. And unfortunately, there ain't a whole lot of them in the churches. We're confused. We don't understand church doctrine. We don't understand the Bible. We read the Bible flat and not deep. Yeah, Vinny?
How did nationalism become a dirty word? How about that?
How about the Jews? How about the Jews? They're their own nation, aren't they? Huh? We're proud of them for being it. Oh, they're their own people, those Jews. What Americans? Oh, we're just a conglomerate of things. We're just whatever. But the Jews, oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no. The Jews, they're their own people. But the rest of us, we're just nuts. Not right. We just be nuts. Why don't we send all these refugees into Jerusalem? Well, that'd be a good place for them. Let's boat them into Jerusalem. Do you think that would work? Well, let's boat them into China.
You know, the Department of Defense hasn't always been the Department of Defense. It started off as the War Department.
Yeah.
Changed to the Department of Defense to emphasize this purpose was to defend our country, not to go make war.
Well, you understand where this is coming, right, guys? I said that. I'm sorry, because I was going to go a different direction. The Lord just shifted me there. You understand this, don't you? You understand it. That when, where is that? Isaiah, Lord, where is that? Strangers will devour you. Isaiah 50, where is it? Isaiah? See if you can find that. Jared, it's judgment of God. It's judgment of God. There it is.
Like Wednesday.
That's fine. What is that? Isaiah 1? Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, hey, your land, meaning borders. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. That's the Bible too, boys. Huh? And the daughters of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. But the Lord had a host left in just a very small remnant. A very small remnant who should have been as Sodom. If it hadn't been for that, we'd all be gone under. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. See, Sodom was a place with borders, right? Israel was a place with borders. Jerusalem was a place with borders. I live in Hebron. It has borders. Roger lives in Canal Winchester. No, he doesn't. He has offices in Canal Winchester. It has borders. He lives in Baltimore. It has borders. George lives in Tulsa. It has borders. But he lives more specifically in... Paul, where do you live? You live in some place that has borders. And everybody... See, I'm allowed... I can get in my car right now and I can drive to Marshfield, Wisconsin, which has borders. Dave. But I have to pass through Chicago, which has borders, and I have to pass through Milwaukee, which has borders. But we're all part of the same country, although we still have the borders. There are borders within borders. Yeah, Roger.
Damn it. Stop making so much sense.
Yeah. I mean, you get it?
When you think about the arguments that we are hearing from these people who you sit here in amazement of their, I don't know if it is a purposeful invasion of them. I don't know if they're stupid. It's got to be purposeful. I can't think of anybody who could sit down at the table on a Saturday morning and a cup of coffee and win the border argument with me over common sense. They couldn't be anybody.
Roger.
I know, Roger.
I'm not that smart.
How many refugees are you supposed to stay in Maxine Waters' place? How many in Chuck Schumer? How many has he got in his house, in his neighborhood? How many other than Muslim refugees? How many are there in Obama's house? I wonder. Huh? Hillary up there in Chappaqua. How many Muslims? How many immigrants, Hondurans are there in Hillary's place?
Hey, Coach. What they have is they have vicarious compassion. That means that they care so much. But they won't put out. They insist that we put out.
It's more sinister than that, Vinny. It's more sinister than that.
Amen, brother.
They want destruction of all borders. They want destruction of all borders. They want destruction. They want destruction of Christianity. It's what they want. Global.
They don't have houses, Coach. They have mansions.
That's right. And see, guys, listen. They will never be able to have globalism as long as the United States exists. They'll never be able to have it. We already looked at what they've done to Europe. We look at England. People are wanting to flee England right now. And so what has always been, why do they hate Trump so much? Because Trump has committed the sin of nationalism. Nationalism, that is a long, long bygone period. Nationalism, you're no longer allowed to be a nationalist. You're no longer to be make America great again. You're no longer Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is just one of many gods. He's right on par with Muhammad and Buddha and Shinto. He's right on all those. And listen, why can't we all get along? And why can't we all be tolerant, diverse, and all religions are equal, all people are equal, all countries are equal? And that damn United States, they still think they're greater than everybody else. They still want to be that city, shining city set on a hill. And we have got to flood them with people who are going to turn that into a cesspool, just like we've done all across the world. And they'll lose their republic. They'll lose their democracy. They'll lose their financial security. They'll lose everything. And then we can take over. Guys, if you can't see that, that's what's going on.
And if you can't see that the admissions policy of colleges is going to be turned upside down when any Tom, Dick, or Harry can claim Native American, I feel black today, I feel woman. It's, if people don't understand what that looks like in 10 years, and then you throw the border problem in there, I mean, it's just, oh my goodness.
So let me circle back here, okay? Let me put a bow on this thing. Put a bow on it. Where did I start this morning? I started with the abortion argument and how the abortion argument makes absolutely no sense. And we look around. What else makes sense? Does anything make sense? Huh? That an unborn baby is not a baby, not a human being. Relativism. Relativism is what? Relative. Relative. We know what relative means. Relative means everything's being relative. Oh, yeah, well, stealing is wrong unless, you know, you can steal from Walmart. They got plenty of stuff. Taxation is wrong, but not Roger. He's got a lot of money. And so we make it relative. And you wouldn't want to live like that, would you? And see, we've moved all away from any type of foundational truth. And they've, you know what they've done? They've infiltrated the schools that talk to our children. Here we harken back to 2 Titus 2. Titus 2, which we just read, makes us look like freaks. The old man, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, patience. Women, teach it to the kids that they may teach you, the one young women to be sober. Would that be something, teach the young women to be sober? Hell, that'd be something, wouldn't it? To love their husbands, to love their children. Those, see, we don't teach young women to love their husbands or love their children. We teach them to love themselves. Oh, my goodness. Bible's deep. It's not flat. And if your understanding of the Bible is only flat, you ain't going to get it. Now, I promise you, you do not want to miss tomorrow's show. I'm gonna go deep with you on something. It's going to open your eyes. It's going to be one of those red pill moments for you tomorrow. So I want you to make sure that you join us. Hey, continue to pray for Jim Kraft. I don't know if he's left yet. He's driving back down to Florida. Mark Trump's gone down there. Josh Mann has gone down there. Other guys have gone down there. They've gone down there and they're trying to be Jesus to people down there who certainly need Jesus at this time in this place. And Thursday tomorrow, how about this? I get to go back to the other high school tomorrow, David. I get to go to Thomas Worthington High School tomorrow. Get another shot at those kids. Different high school, same class, same environment. Remember this, boys and girls. God's word doesn't return void if the word is him. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst them. But using the word of God as your only weapon. No. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God. We know that the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, we know that that's a sword, but it's not the only weapon. not the only weapon we wield. What a time to be alive. Wake up. Men of God, rise up. O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God. The church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to the task. Rise up and make her great. God bless you. See you tomorrow.